Hi, I'm Jennifer Chamberlain, and today's leadership quote comes from John Quincy Adams, and it is, "If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader."
The Leader Assistant podcast exists to encourage and challenge assistants to become confident, game-changing leader assistants.
With so much on your plate, wouldn't it be nice if ordering food for the office were easy and reliable? My friends at EasyCater are workplace catering pros, helping you find food for everything from daily employee meals to staff meetings and special events. With EasyCater's network of over 100,000 restaurants nationwide, you'll have a huge variety of options near you for any group size, dietary need, or budget. Your food arrives on time, as ordered, all supported 24/7 by EasyCater's team of experts. Visit easycater.com/leaderassistant to find out more. Hey friends, welcome to the Leader Assistant podcast. It's episode 221. You can check out the show notes for today's episode at leaderassistant.com/221. leaderassistant.com/221. And today I am speaking with Jennifer Chamberlain. Jennifer is the founder of virtual assistant organization called My Bilingual VA. And Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and so excited to be talking to you.
Likewise. So tell us, where are you in the world?
So I'm based near Paris in France, which is where I've been since 1999.
Awesome. And I see in your bio, you had a fun first full-time job, or at least I'm assuming it was fun. You can tell us all about it, but something about Disney, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that you can hear from my voice that I'm British. So I was born and raised there. And then came to Disneyland Paris to work in 1999. And yeah, so I worked there for 2 years.
Nice. How was it? Was it magical? Was it just a job?
No, it was amazing. It was my first full-time job ever. Mm. And I'd never actually been to Disneyland before I got there. So I saw it from the backstage just before I saw on stage, which is kind of a strange way to do it because I think most people probably go on stage first. But I was so excited to get there and really excited to work there. And just, you know, the idea of working somewhere where it's a happy place and people go there for happy times, I just loved it. And I was really lucky because they just allocate you to work where you're working. You don't get a choice. And so when I got there and I found, well, the first thing was that I was told I was going to be working 50% on attractions and 50% on food. And the stroppy teenager in me at that point turned around and said, "I'm not doing food. I don't want to work in food. I didn't come to work in food. That's not why I left my country." So they said, "Oh, okay, you can do 100% attractions. That's fine." And then I found out that I'd been allocated to Big Thunder Mountain, which is obviously one of the coolest rides in the park and everybody loves it. And I was just chuffed to bits.
Yeah.
Like I got to be a cowboy, so I got a cool costume and it was just awesome.
Love it. Well, what took you from Disneyland to the world of personal/executive assistant?
So I did a couple of years in Disney, absolutely loved it. And then realized that it probably wasn't going to be something that I wanted to do for the rest of my career. I was bilingual by that stage. And so being bilingual and near to Paris, the kind of obvious choice of somewhere to look for work was secretarial work. I'd already done a little bit in the UK, so I had an understanding of what it would be. And I was really, really fortunate that a fantastic headhunter looked at my profile and saw something that some potential there. And so she put me forward to actually one of the big four. It was one of the big five at that point. And so I was offered a job as a junior bilingual secretary in the tax and legal department, working on French wealth tax returns.
So that's a little bit different than Disney.
It was very, very different. Yeah. I mean, it's the very high end of the people who go to Disney who are concerned by that, but
right.
So there is a connection there.
Wow. So then you ended up making your way back to Disney though, right? Is that right?
My career evolved. So I did 9 months in one of the big four. And then I moved to a law firm where I was the second PA to a partner in mergers and acquisitions. So I did my experience there until I had enough and said, I want to be the first PA now. I can do this. I know what I'm doing. So then I moved to a bank where I got a fabulous corner office, got my name on the door, a really nice balcony. I was really happy. Worked there. Then I got itchy feet again and I moved to working for an ONG. And then I joined an HR department. So that was very different because rather than be an EA, I was a team assistant. And the whole ethos of their HR team and pool of assistants was that we were all interchangeable. So we could be doing anything. There were a few tasks that dedicated people did, but otherwise it was a pool of different people. So I worked there, had my children, because it was that time of my life. And then that came to an end. And I had the opportunity, by that stage, I kind of had so much experience that I was really thinking about, well, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And so France has a really great system of kind of skills-based assessments that they make you go through a series of interviews with an HR professional. And they kind of conclude from that where they think you'd be best suited to going further and developing your career. And so I was... it was recommended to me that I do an HR qualification. So I had that opportunity. Thank you very much to the French state and the French government because it was all funded, which was awesome. I did a 1 year HR degree and I went back to Disney as an intern in their HR department.
Okay. And then you decided you didn't want to do HR and you wanted to go back to assistant, or how did that transition? What put you back to the assistant world?
I was really lucky that when I went back into the workplace after that, I found roles which were all encompassing. So they were general EA, but then with the HR as well, because they were in smaller companies where there wasn't necessarily a huge HR department. And that's the real beauty of smaller companies. You get to do everything. Whereas in bigger companies, you're very much siloed off. And of course you can move from one thing to another, but I think it's harder. Mm-hmm. That was how I think that's how I became, kind of this generalist who, has seen a bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So during your career as an assistant working for these different various companies, what was maybe your favorite part about those times? And then what was your least favorite part?
Are you ready to elevate your career in 2024? I'm Maggie Olson, founder of Nova Chief of Staff Certification, the first of its kind online course for aspiring and existing chiefs of staff. With curriculum taken directly from on-the-job responsibilities, Nova's self-paced learning modules provides you with hands-on experience so you can feel competent and confident moving into a chief of staff style role. It's the perfect next step for executive assistants. Head to leaderassistant.com/Nova to learn more, grab the syllabus, and enroll today.
I'm very much my purpose is very much to serve other people, and that's what we do. That's the crux of it. We're not here to be in the limelight. We're here to support the other people who are, and to do, you know, to make their lives easier. And that's still very much the core of who I am. So, you know, making their life smoother, whether it's, you know, the general EA things or whatever it is that they need, that we're there to find a solution. So that's definitely it. And then things like making connections and meeting people and tying the knots, basically. Mm-hmm. That's definitely what I enjoy. I think now, after, you know, 7 years of being a sole trader and working from home, I wouldn't go back to an office.
So your least favorite part was going into an office.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, the commuting, and that's why I launched my own business, because when my previous post, my last position ended, I had the choice of going back into Paris for work, and the idea of commuting again and being out from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and I had young children at the time was just, no, I really don't want to do that.
Yeah. I am on the same train as you. I like the work from home life. Definitely. So then, you know, you didn't want to go back to the office. How did you come up with, okay, I'm going to start a VA firm? Or did you just start like, hey, I'm going to support people remotely and see what happens? Is that kind of, and then it just grew from there?
It was really incredible, because I was very much the corporate EA. That's what I'd always done. I'd always worked in an office, and I, like, even the very sense of an EA for me was somebody who's in the office with the people they're working for. And so but I've always been the EA that gets out there and networks, makes connections, gets involved in training, reads the magazines, follows, you know, people like you and Lucy Grazier, et cetera, et cetera. And so, so I was in some EA groups, and in one in particular where they were talking about a virtual assistant, and I had this in gut corporate reaction to it. What on earth is that? How on earth is that possible? But anyway, I said, you know, I'm hearing this a lot, seeing it around a lot, no idea what it is. Does somebody want to talk to me and explain? And so I was very fortunate that it was a Sunday morning, and I ended up on a phone call with Amanda Johnson, who's one of the UK's best VA coaches. And she literally spent an hour on her Sunday morning, knowing that she has a family, etc., and talking to me that she didn't know from anyone, and explaining what it was, how I could do it. And literally after an hour, I left and thought, you know what, I could do this. It sounds like something I'd like to try. So yes, that's where it came from. Wow. And that was April 2016.
Wow. So then you started supporting, and did you have multiple clients by yourself to start? How did that develop?
Yeah, so I was really lucky that in the position that I was finishing off, I literally had about 7 weeks of gardening leave or something. So that was brilliant. So it gave me time to be at home, be preparing my business, you know, create the Facebook page, the website, all of those things, do the marketing, and most importantly, make the connections. So I started, I mean, my first jobs were associate jobs for other more well-established VAs who'd been doing it for longer than me. And that was the best place to start, really, because it gave me, you know, it gave me the opportunity to prove what I could do. And then it just snowballed from there. And then I got my own clients, and then it grew, and yeah.
Nice. So when did you say, all right, I got to get help. Like, I got to hire a team.
So that came quite early on. I remember that I was doing a task for a client, which was just some, you know, data scraping or something, filling in an Excel sheet or something from websites. And I was sitting there, and I realized, you know, I could pay somebody else to do this. I don't need to be doing this. And I've got 100 other things on my to-do list that I could be doing. So because I was in those VA groups and I was making those connections, I went into one of them that I trusted. And I said, I've got this task. Is anyone available now to do it? And within 10 minutes, I took the first person who said yes. And because it was a trusted VA group, I knew that I could trust the person that I was giving it to. And so it went from there, really. It wasn't that I then went on and did client work, but I think I did a proposal or something for someone else that just freed up my time. And it was a massive revelation because it was suddenly, oh, I can, you know, this hour in front of me, well, I can be billing it and then she can be billing it and then we're making more money, which is awesome. I like this. and that's one of the things that I love most about having my own business is I'm not relying anymore on a salary that comes in, a payslip that comes in at the end of the month, but money can come in at any time of the month, which is awesome.
Oh, nice. So what's maybe your number one tip then for whether you're a virtual assistant or you're an executive assistant that's maybe hybrid in office and remote, what's your number one tip for working from home and working, you know, out of the office?
Be super organized, I think. You know, have your tools and set clear boundaries as well. Just because you're working from home, it doesn't mean that, you know, you should be doing anything at any time of day. So respecting those boundaries and those limits.
Nice.
I think. And then communication is always the thing. I mean, that's one of the things I say about my years of self-employment is that I don't think I've ever had a day where I haven't spoken to somebody, which is insane, but that's just the way it is. You know, even if I haven't physically spoken to someone, I've had a connection, you know, a written connection. So that's one of the biggest eye openers as well, is how I've just had to embrace all these new tools that, you know, 7 years ago I was like, I wasn't going to touch them. I can remember my mum saying, oh, we should use Skype and I'll be able to see you. And I was just, no, really not keen on that. And then, you know, now it's like second nature to talk to people over Zoom, and it's the most natural thing in the world.
Right. Well, so speaking of tools, what's one of your favorite tools that, you know, you use in your business?
I think it has to be Slack.
Okay.
Slack. I love Slack. It's such a great communication tool. It's really, it keeps everything in its place. I like it because with my team, you know, we can have the general channel where everybody sees what's going on. You can make those as fun as you like, which is really nice for corporates as well. Having those dedicated channels, like for if I've got two or three people working on the same client, then we've got a dedicated channel and everything stays there and we know where it is and you can go back and search it. So yeah, Slack is probably up there. My second would be Trello, I think. Love a good Trello board.
Nice. And how many assistants work on your team now?
So I have around 10 that work with me on a regular basis, but they're not just assistants. So because of the wide range of tasks and services that we offer, it includes things as wide as the general EA, but also social media admin, translations, proofreading, subtitling videos. So there are different professionals. And then because we're a multilingual team, there are different languages spoken as well. So it's not, I was saying to somebody the other day, I couldn't hire, like, instead of those people, I couldn't hire one person because I wouldn't find that unicorn who would be able to do all of the things that they could do individually. And it's really where I'm just thinking as I'm saying this, that the sum of the parts is so much greater than the parts on their own.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So tell us a little bit about, you know, you've been running this business for how many years now?
Seven.
So
it'll be 7 in about a week from when we're recording this.
Nice. So when did you, or I guess the first question should be, have you gone from, all right, I'm growing my business, I'm operating my business, to helping other people who want to start a virtual assistant business or who want to become a virtual assistant? Have you gotten into that world at all?
Yes, absolutely. So a couple of years ago, I got that was really something that I wanted to do. And I started mentoring new VAs. But I was absolutely adamant that I didn't want to be stepping on anyone's toes and, you know, doing it in a way that didn't feel right. So I had my niche for that was French speaking VAs. So I've done some mentoring. I've had, conversations, and I'm always open to chatting with new VAs and telling them, you know, little bits about what I know and answering their questions. And then I did run a mastermind group, for 3 months. So that was great. But unfortunately, the French speaking VAs aren't necessarily as ready to invest in themselves, as maybe the English speaking world is. So it didn't really take off. But I'm still, it's still something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah. Nice. Well, is there anything that, you've got people listening from all over the world, assistants, virtual assistants, personal assistants, administrative assistants, executive business partners, all the different titles in the administrator profession listening right now, what's one thing that you want to say to those listening to kind of leave them with?
I think the biggest thing that's on my heart is never, ever, ever say that you're just an assistant. Because, you're never just an assistant. There's so much to it. And never put yourself in a box. Whether you remain a corporate PA for 40 years and your whole career, or whether you branch out and dare to do something different and dare to move on from it, there are so many opportunities, and your path is your path, and do what lights you up.
Awesome. Well said, Jennifer. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your insight for assistants all over the world. So what's next for you?
So it's a super, super exciting time. I've just completed a certification program to be an online business consultant. So that's really what I'm transitioning into. I want to offer the business support services that we've become known for to multilingual entrepreneurs. But I also want to offer that business consultancy side, because I see so many people, young entrepreneurs, business professionals needing that support, that I really want to offer the mindset and the strategy and the confidence, so that they can, grow their businesses even more. So that's really what I'm excited about. And it's given a whole new sense to what I'm doing. So watch this space.
Nice. Awesome. And that would be like, if assistants listening are like, I've always wanted to start an online business, you would be the person to reach out to?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. But also those entrepreneurs out there who, are maybe struggling in their business, but they don't quite know what they need. So one of the things that I'll be offering is an online business audit. So that's just sitting down with me, going through, the basics of your business and seeing, doing kind of a SWOT analysis into it. And then seeing how, a VA or somebody could support them further. So it's super exciting.
Wow. Yeah. Congrats, by the way. And that's awesome.
Thank you.
Where can people reach out to you? What's the best place for them to say hi and learn more about what you're up to?
So I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably the best place. So Jennifer Chamberlain, MBVA. And then my website is my bilingual VA.
Perfect. And I'll put those links in the show notes at leaderassistant.com/221. And yeah, thanks again for being on the show. Best of luck to you. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks. It's been great.
Please review on Apple Podcasts. gobillows.com.